Blog Talk Radio.
Hello, friends. This is Nick, and I'm here with my co-host, Terry. And this is Hell No, the Radio Show. Hell No, the Radio Show is a socially conscious water cooler talk show about what's going on in the world as we feature guests and callers who express their thoughts. Hell No is friendly, it's funny, it's real, and it's focused on empowering the truth. What we do is we give a voice to people who feel left in the dust. This program is not democratic, it's not fascist, it's not politically correct, or a place for sacred cows. What we do is we advocate peace, critical thought, education, reading, and social awareness. So go ahead and write down this telephone number and call me and Terry to share your thoughts on our discussion stirring topics on tonight's Hell No episode. That number is area code 718-508-9419. Then when prompted, dial option number 1. That number again, 718-508-9419. Hell No is a one-hour show, and we take y'all's calls in the order we receive them, so please sit tight. Of course, we can receive emails anytime at hellnoradioshow@gmail.com. Also, find our programs on our Facebook and Twitter page. As always, partial support for Hell No, the Radio Show comes from our sponsors, and Terry's going to tell us about them now.
Our primary sponsor this evening is Miss Jane Flint, our good friend and longtime supporter. She is a body worker and massage therapist extraordinaire. She's located at 10335 West Oklahoma Avenue, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. Ms. Flint is as good as they get. Start out the new year with a wonderful professional massage or buy a coupon. Buy a gift certificate for someone else that you really care about. It's an incredible gift. And when I say she's the best of the best, hey, I've had lots of massages in my lifetime, and she is quite simply as good as they get. She's, you know, within striking distance of a huge area here in the Midwest. If you're within 100 miles, it's worth the drive. It really is. It's located right off the freeway, and she can do hours by appointment. She is schooled in over 15 different disciplines of massage and bodywork therapy. She is a wonderful body worker. So please give her a call at 414-321-9030, 414-321-9030. If you mention our show, she'll give you $10 off your first appointment. Again, start out the new year with a wonderful professional massage from Miss Jane Flint. You can reach her at 414-321-9030. Thanks.
All right.
Have you died?
No, not quite yet, although it's possible anytime. Between now and about middle of February, because of the wonderful cedar trees that are blooming, and now is another time of death. Allergy season is awful sometimes, and this is one of those. So medicate up. They say on the TV today, make sure you wash your hands a lot, drink lots of fluids, take an antihistamine, and just try to push through it, I guess. So, but I will persevere. I will make it. I'm tough.
Well, a semi-regular feature on our show is passing personages, people who have,
yes,
as they say, shuffled off the mortal coil. And in this last week, we've had, in addition to others, Carrie Fisher passed away at age 60, a.k.a. Princess Leia and numerous other roles. Someone who had some really serious problems with addiction. Very, very young to go from heart trouble at 60, especially a woman. And George Michaels, the singer and entertainer, passed away at age, was it 53 or 54, Nick?
I think it's 53, if I remember correctly.
Yeah. No details on what happened. We were told that he passed away peacefully in his sleep, but what does that mean?
As opposed to violently in his sleep because a plane crashed through his house. I mean, his publicist was the one who released the statement. So, you know, of course, I wonder if he wasn't terminally ill, and they had that all kind of prepared. I'm not really sure. I don't know. He wasn't really much in the news or press lately. And I guess Carrie Fisher had a heart attack. You said she. What do we know? What was her cause of death?
Well, allegedly it was heart failure, and she had obviously a very severe condition. She collapsed on a flight coming back from Europe, and luckily there was a medical professional on board who was able to keep her pumping until they got her onto the tarmac and into an ambulance. But I don't know. I had a discussion with somebody yesterday about this, and the net effects of drugs and what has happened is just incredible. And it's not just one generation; it's more and more and more people. The number of people.
We're talking about drugs and substance. I mean, are we talking about drugs like we think of drugs as, you know, years ago, or what's currently known as drugs? It's kind of all over the place.
Thing.
A lot of pills. I mean, is that the problem?
I think it's a combination of just about everything you can imagine. Heroin is, you know, again, raising its ugly head. People never get it. And you're talking about, I was talking to a fellow who works at one of the overdose centers, and they've had, can't remember what he told me, but in a medium-sized city, they had something like 500 overdose deaths in a year. Or 600 overdose deaths in a year. That's incredible. You know, that's like two a day. They're dying from overdoses. And that has nothing to do with the ones that they save. And they save a lot more than they lose. So we're talking about if they weren't treated, we'd probably have a dozen a day or more. There we go.
I mean, it's hard to imagine. One thing I saw recently, there was a program on one of the cable channels talking about this like concoction now that people are drinking, and it's a combination of really high-end coke.
Hello? Hello? Hello?
Hello, hello. Hello, hello. Terry, are you there?
What
happened? Well, you're still here. I'm still here. Anyways.
No, I was cut off completely.
So was I. All of a sudden, I got a message that I was no longer connected. What is going on? Very strange. Very strange. Anyhow, what I was saying, I was talking about this thing I saw on a cable TV program about this new thing that came out of Houston, and kids are doing it all over the place, and they're calling it lean, and it's basically codeine, very like high-potency codeine cough syrup type thing, like Robitussin, but real expensive and addictive stuff. They're mixing with grape sodas and things like that. And they, you know, instead of drinking alcohol, they're just running around drinking cough syrup. But these people are getting horribly addicted to, I mean, it's an opiate. So that's just wonderful.
Yeah, opiates are not, you know, opiates are not that addictive. I don't know what they're putting in it or what they're taking. And the cough syrup thing is very hard for people. I mean, it's really tough to get cough syrup with codeine in nowadays. Really tough. You almost never
see this stuff. Well, this stuff is prescription. It's prescription, and it's expensive.
I'm talking about that.
Right.
I have no idea where they might be getting stuff like that, because I don't know physicians who are even prescribing codeine cough stuff. I mean, I've known people recently that have had pneumonia, and those folks don't get codeine cough syrup. They get something else. So I'm not sure where all this is coming from. And I'm not sure how much of this information is accurate either. You know, we're talking about the media here. So,
very true.
I don't know. If we've got anybody out there with a background in pharmacology, please give us a call. I'd love to know what's going on with this. Yeah. Okay,
strange
enough
stuff.
Of that. Let's hearken back to the idea that Christmas is a season, not a day. We were talking about this a little earlier, Nick and I, and it just seems absurd to me that we go through everything we go through, and it's over within a day.
It's like a wedding without a honeymoon.
Yeah. And, you know, with all the preparation and with all the time spent and all the money spent and all the rest of it, one would think that you'd want to keep celebrating for a bit. Take a couple of weeks and celebrate like they do in Europe. Some places in Europe, they take off an entire, like, 3 weeks or maybe even 4 weeks for the Christmas season. I don't think that's a bad idea at all. Because if the other guys aren't working, then you don't have to worry about working. Your essentials and leave it at that. You know, the grocery store and gasoline stations, and that's pretty much what you need.
Well, we have a caller who got their hand up, and let's see if they have an opinion on the Christmas season and how long we should extend it and how long we should kick back. This is our buddy who had telephone number ends in 0619. Santa, how was your Christmas?
Evening, guys. I had a great holiday. And, you know, it's not over for me. I've just been happy seeing the kids and the people and the things that I've been able to, you know, give kids and talk to people. It's ongoing, not for 3 weeks, unfortunately, but it does not end Christmas Day. You know, it does keep going for me.
Well,
I did have something I wanted to comment on.
Please,
as you know, I've been doing this for umpteen years. I went to a friend's house Christmas Eve, and they've always been fortunate to have unusual animals there that I've been able to hold and get pictures taken and stuff. And this year there were three species of pythons, and I believe it was called a tigua, something like a lizard.
Probably be a tegu lizard.
Tegu, I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm.
And the pythons, I think one of them might have been endangered, but they're so beautiful. They weren't large snakes, maybe 24, 30 inches long, somewhere around that length, maybe a little bit longer. But they were so beautiful. And I don't want to say innocent, but if people that keep tearing up the environment, they don't give snakes like this or any animal a chance to survive, hardly. Mother Nature makes it tough enough for animals to find food, not become food, shelter, water, just to survive. And then when they lose all of their places that they can live and stuff, it's just a waste of letting the animals live their lives.
Yeah, and what we have done to our environment is unforgivable, and it's the only planet that we have. And the amount of greed that drives it is almost impossible to comprehend if you have a conscience. The things that have been done, the things that continue to be done, some of it's out of ignorance, but an awful lot of it's just out of greed. And we are taking the homes of millions upon millions of animals and destroying them. I was talking to somebody today about the species of monkeys that we've found in Brazil over the last 5 years. Approximately 20 new species of monkeys that have been found, including tamarins, in Brazil over the last 5 years. That's a huge number. But the reason we're finding them is because we're chopping down the forests. These animals lived in deep rainforest areas. Now, then you have to back up and look at the areas that they've clear-cut and destroyed over the last 5 years and how many species probably lived there that we will never know about that are now extinct. animals that live in microhabitats, animals that live in small groups, animals that live in group-dependent situations. A perfect example of that is some places in Central America where you can go there and you hardly see a butterfly. Even though it seems like the forest is still intact, what's happened is a big chunk of the forest in the other side, in other words, the country right next to Belize, for instance, has chopped down their forest. And these animals were dependent upon that the animals and the environment don't understand where a line is drawn for a country or city or what have you. This was part of a unique habitat where the animals needed to be able to drift from one portion of it to the other to survive. They moved. All of a sudden, half that or more is gone, missing. The animals just start to die out. Their natural movements have been interfered with, their natural migrations have been interfered with, and they just die. That's it. They can't adapt quickly enough. That's what we are doing to our friends and neighbors on the planet. Not good. Not good at all. And I will get off my soapbox, but not before I say that it's unbelievable. It really is unbelievable. A planet that can handle maybe just under 1 billion people total now has about 9 times that. So there we are. Nick, are you still alive? Hello?
Take my thing off. Yeah, I'm still here. Sorry. I was looking at the story here. Also in the world of animals and wildlife, there was a recent find here in Texas. South Texas is now a home to a rarely seen ocelot den, the first of its kind in about 20 years. They said they've been tracking an 11-year-old female ocelot with a tracking collar, and they discovered a recent 3-week-old, 1-pound male kitten. And so the ocelots have been decreasing in number. In the past year, we've seen some exponential growth. So it's kind of interesting. It was nice to see that kind of pop up along Facebook alongside all the other stuff that we see out there. So.
Well, what's happening
for the ocelots.
The ocelots and the other small cats and even the jaguar are starting to move back into their historic habitat. They did range into Texas. They did range into New Mexico and Arizona. And mm-hmm. because they have been protected for a long time, even though there weren't any there, they were completely extirpated, which means that they were rendered extinct in that area. They are now starting to try to move back in because they're getting forced out of areas in Mexico that they can't live in anymore. So it's good news, bad news. I mean, the good news is that when they're getting here, nobody's doing anything to them. There are so few of them that it's really sad. We now think we have 2 jaguars in the United States. We're not sure, but we think we do. We used to have a fairly good population of them in the United States. There were never a lot of them because it's the northernmost tip of their range. But the jaguar used to range all the way through Central America and virtually everywhere that there was a forested area in South America. The small cats like the ocelot, the margay, and the jaguarundi, all of them have seen precipitous declines in their numbers. For a while, it was for fur, and then it was habitat destruction and fur, and then it was habitat destruction. Now it's just people. People just absolutely taking over every inch of this planet and making the wild parts go away. We need those wild parts. They produce oxygen. We need those wild parts because they produce a lot of other things as well. So there it is, and there you have it.
Well, I'm still going to say good thing for the ocelot. I hope it does well.
Good thing, too. I agree. I just, as I said, it's good news, bad news sort of thing.
Oh, I have a question also, talking about bee pollen. This came up, I was thinking about it the other day. Someone was talking about a process in making synthetic honey and synthetic. Do you know anything about this? Is that?
No, new one on me.
Is that possible?
I can't imagine how
they could recreate that.
Oh, I really don't know how that's possible. Honey is such a complex thing, and it takes those little guys an awfully long time to make it, and it takes, you know, tens of millions of them to make the hundreds the honey that we use for our cereal or cooking or whatever we're using it for. But it's a very complex substance, but all honey is by no means the same. There are many, many types of honey depending upon what the bees are foraging on, and also to a certain extent what type of bee it is. Different bees produce some different qualities and types of honey. Most of the bees that are in beehives are not wild bees. These are bees that have been crossed with bees from all over the world to make them easier going, more tractable, and bigger honey producers. They're basically domestic bees. The wild bees are few and far between, very few and far between, which means that the wild plants are having a really tough time pollinating. We're seeing that all over the place. And we've talked about the bumblebees on another show that we did, where they are going to soon be listed on the endangered species list. One of the most common animals that we saw when we were kids, the big old bumblebees, may soon end up on the endangered species list. And it is a combination of man destroying his environment, pesticides, and that's frightening. The bees, we die. It's very simple. And yes, Einstein was the one who said, when the bees die out, man has about 2 years left, mankind. We need them. They need to be out there pollinating, taking care of business. I don't know.
What if anything could someone like me do, or anyone, if they want to be supportive or helpful to the bee population?
Get rid of your lawn and plant a flower garden with a lot of native flowers in it. In your case, there would be prairie type flowers. That does wonderful things, not just for the bees, but certainly for other animals. Lots of small animals find homes in there and are important to the health of the soil. They're important to the health of the plants. That's what you can do. Get rid of the damn lawns. We don't need lawns. Put something out there that these animals can live in.
It's funny, too, you know, when we look at, you know, different... My neighborhood is all natural stuff. There's no sod in here. But I'm not far from a HOA subdivision that has, their grass is all dead. You know, it's all the same, and it looks like plastic sort of to me. Meanwhile, I've got weed growing. I've got all sorts of things. My stuff is, you know, the grass is dormant, but there's still stuff growing, and there's a whole ecosystem right in the pasture here, you know. So my stuff's all green, I'll tell you that. But I agree on the planting the wildflowers, and a lot of people, you know, there's a lot of stuff that we have that it grows pretty abundantly that some people just consider a nuisance, and they, you know, hack it down all the time. But all sorts of good stuff as opposed to the lawns as we know them and all the chemicals. You know, think too is all the chemicals that people spray. They bring them, they're on your shoes. You've got pets in the house. I mean, you walk in the house with chemicals on your shoes, take your shoes off. You know, I mean, it's a problem. People with little kids, there's, you know, allergies as well and all sorts of. You just got to be careful. People have to be more aware of their environment and things around them and not just take it for granted. And, you know, it's
more respectful toward the environment.
More respectful.
More
exactly.
Respectful for the other animals and denizens of the planet. And certainly more
Christmas?
Respectful of their own species.
And what about Christmas trees? I was going to talk about Christmas tree disposal and recommend that people use those Christmas tree bags. I'm sure there are some that are, you know, recyclable or ones that break down, so it's not just a plastic, you know, whatever. But you can use, what about you? The first thing that popped into my head is using the Christmas trees as little habitats or something. There's got to be, I don't know, what can you do with discarded Christmas trees, if anything?
Well, not a huge amount, but I mean, if you're really concerned about them going back into the soil, take them someplace. You know, most cities have chipping facilities where you can bring stuff in, and they'll chip them down into wood chips that get used for mulching, and eventually that goes back into the soil. You can use Christmas trees in another way, if not for an indoor fireplace, but for an outdoor. If you have an outdoor barbecue slash, they're not a bad thing to burn. Certainly, you can, if you live in a woodsy area, you can lay it near but not in the woods, and it'll break down on its own. The reason you don't put it in the woods is because it can end up as what we call fuel on the forest floor, which allows forest fires to get started much more easily. So those are the answers there.
So near but not in the woods.
The ones that I know, right.
As we were talking about that, got another passing person just to add to the list. Debbie Reynolds, star of Singing in the Rain, passed away at age 84.
When?
I just got the email about a minute ago.
That's Carrie Fisher's mother.
Yep, Debbie Reynolds, star of 1952 classic Singing in the Rain and mother of actress Carrie Fisher, dies at 84, son says.
Wow.
So, yeah.
They die within a day of each other. My God.
Bob Denver passed away also.
Really? Huh. When was that?
I'm not sure. Within the last couple of days, I understood, but
wow,
I don't know.
I did not see that. Dobie Gillis. Most people know him from Gilligan's Island. But he did a show. It was a late 50s, early 60s show where he played a beatnik on the college campus. And the show was called Dobie Gillis. He was Maynard J. Krebs in that show.
Yep.
Wow.
Wait, okay, so this...
Dropping like flies.
Well, I just looked something up that said Bob Denver passed away September 2, 2005. Is that... I don't know.
I don't know either. Check that one out.
Well, in any case, what's up with everyone passing? What is everyone passing away for?
Yeah.
They're afraid of Donald Trump's getting elected. Inauguration? Come on now.
Have a little bit of humor for some Christmas music here, Maestro.
Yes. The
the restroom door said, "Gentlemen."
It is stuck in the loading, and I'm thinking if I use the other song, it will unfreeze the other one. So we could do it out of context and start with Wreck the Malls and then lead into an interesting story of what's going on at the mall.
Thank you.
Wreck the Malls by Bob Rivers. Did a lot of fun stuff, a lot of humorous stuff, a lot of stuff that ended up on the Dr. Demento show, for those of you who are Dr. Demento fans. Some very, very funny stuff. He did a Christmas album called Twisted Christmas, and that was a selection known as Wreck the Malls. Unfortunately, it is apropos to what we are about to speak about. That's too many abouts in one sentence. But at any rate, there have been some mall fights. I mean, like gang fights of sorts, except it doesn't seem to be gangs. It seems to be just people who are completely going off their brick day after Christmas. How many cities did you identify, Nick, were these fights?
All right, well, this isn't a CNN article. They're talking about mall incidents ranging from minor melees. Which, interesting, a minor melee. Now, when I learned the word melee, I really didn't think of that as something that would be minor, but
no,
we'll let
not
it go.
At all.
Minor, a minor melee. I'm like, really? I'm like, what? Okay, dear CNN writers, look the word. Know what words mean when you use them, please. So from minor melees to mass evacuations. Again, this is a terrible sentence. I'm sorry. The mall incidents, mm-hmm. which ranged from minor melees to mass evacuations, occurred from Colorado to Tennessee and Texas to New Jersey. a mall in Aurora, Colorado, Aurora, Illinois, Memphis, Tennessee, Chattanooga, Tennessee, Fayetteville, North Carolina, Elizabeth, New Jersey, Manchester, Connecticut, Fort Worth, Texas, and Beechwood, Ohio. And it just, from what I've seen with this too, one of them, their firecrackers are discharged. I mean, it seems like those flash mobs that people were doing for a while, and it doesn't seem to be really about much of anything. They're organized on social media, so I'm guessing that on Twitter there's probably some sort of hashtag that people can follow and find out information. Whoever's planning these things are just brawls at malls. And, you know, they seem to be in a lot of black neighborhoods, from what I've seen. And also looking on the maps of where they are. And it's a very bizarre thing. But, I mean, they had people in handcuffs outside some of these malls and, you know, inside security, and people just, you know, going crazy, just like slapping each other and almost like looking like it's like a fun thing. Again, there was no message. There was no protest. It was just chaos. So, you know, mayhem, you know, general mayhem. We haven't seen general mayhem for a while. Meanwhile, I bet there's a lot of people who are upping their Amazon Prime subscriptions and will just have those gifts delivered to their home by a drone or someone in a mail jeep or what have you. But, yeah, I mean, it's great. Malls have enough problems as it is. A lot of them are going to the wayside. Yeah. A lot of malls have closed. I don't think there have been any new. I mean, there's sort of, you know, everything that I've seen that's been new, like north of Fort Worth, there's a lot of stuff going up. It seems to be kind of, there's like a couple chain stores and these little strip malls and specialty this or that. But, you know, the mall as it was, and the mall culture, the whole hangout at the mall. I remember being in junior high, and I mean, that was a whole day affair, an event. Especially if you had friends who worked at the mall, it was.
But it wasn't a situation of violence or vandalism or anything else. It was a social occasion.
No, I remember when they outlawed smoking in the mall. People were so pissed that they had to go outside and smoke cigarettes. Like, oh no, it was a big deal, very big deal at the mall. But, anyways, how crazy is that? I don't know why or what, but and we'll see if these things continue. It might just be an isolated thing. They were doing them all at one point in time, maybe some sort of form of protest. But, they don't seem to be continuing, so that's odd.
Very odd. Nice to be in the Christmas spirit, guys and ladies. Good Lord. Okay.
I don't know.
Is our other song freed up for playing or not?
Let me hit the refresh button, and it's stuck in. It looks like it's stuck in processing. I don't know. Maybe it is. The brains have gone to the mall brawl. I don't know. But meanwhile, there's another interesting story that I think that is worth a mention. The conflict in Israel and between Israelis and the Palestinians is something that most people are aware exists. They might not be really too aware of why or what's going on with it. But they know it's in the news, and it never seems to go away. And the United States has been friends with Israel for a long time. And what happened was Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu has been building allowing and encouraging some of these settlement construction projects, sort of, the way that I understand it, kind of building a coalition in that area, and the Palestinians don't like it. Basically, the UN wants the Israelis and the Palestinians to get along in what they call a two-state solution. Recently the United Nations issued a resolution, which is, you know, just basically a statement saying that we condemn what the Israelis are doing. We want them and the Palestinians to do this two-state solution. You know, it's rather complex, but it's just something that if you come across a news article, it's worth reading and getting a general understanding of what some of the issues are over there. And, you know, currently what we're seeing in the news a lot on our end is Donald Trump has been tweeting about the U.S. abstaining from a vote. So when it came up to a vote about this resolution to condemn this behavior, the U.S. said, nope, I abstain, we're not voting, we're staying out of it. And some people do not like that, and saying that, you know, Donald Trump's statement was Israel's been a good friend of the U.S. in a long time, we need them as an ally, and by staying out of it, that's not helpful, sort of implying that the U.S. sort of threw Israel under the bus. But, you know, it's politics and banter and back and forth, and the problems going on over in the Middle East will certainly always be there. But, you know, it's something interesting to check out. I don't know that it's that big of a deal. A lot of people talk about the United Nations as being sort of a toothless organization, calling them a paper tiger and so forth. So anyway, it's just something of mention. Terry?
Well, yeah. I'm very sad that this has continued. I mean, this was something that when I was a kid was going on, and it's still going on.
My dad taught me. He saw this coming on for 2,000 years. It will always be going on. It never seems to end. It'll, you know.
They never seem to have a solution. I am not in the corner of the Israelis. I am not in the corner of the Palestinians. I'm in the corner of peace. And I feel very sad. I truly do. I am not being facetious or overly dramatic. I think it is something to be sad about in this day and age that we still have these things going on. And, you know, it's a sad comment on both of their societies that they cannot somehow come to a resolution where they are going to live in peace with each other. And I do have to say that in recent times I've seen more nasty activity by the Palestinians than the Israelis. And all that does is make the Israelis, who tend to be on the stubborn side, just dig in further and not want to do anything. They want their area, they want their land, they want their independence. I don't know. It's a very sad comment on us.
Is anybody else laying out there? It's kind of sad. No, but yeah, I want since we're on the topic of land and rights to things and indigenous peoples, mm-hmm. and whatnot. Mm-hmm. The Dakota Access Pipeline. What have you heard anything recently about that? What happened with that? You know, one of the things I thought was interesting as they were doing a lot of the protesting that all these buffalo apparently came in and sat kind of where they are, like a bunch herd of buffalo came through. A lot of people thought that was kind of like, hey, that's a sign.
Mm-hmm. Well, the Sioux depended upon the buffalo for their existence for many, many years. And they look at them as a sign, and, you know, maybe they're not wrong. I'm going to jump into something here that we have not really spoken about. And it's something that, at least to me, and I would think most thinking individuals, should be a bit frightening. And that has to do with quantum physics. They are finding out, apparently, that what we look at as our empirical reality, the world around us, may not be truly a solid reality at all. I mean, we've had a lot of theories. We've had a lot of things like the string theory come along, but some of this latest stuff is really starting to get very, very odd.
Where are you seeing a lot of this? Because I know there's a lot of programs on topic.
There's a lot of science stuff coming out in science journals and so on. I've been reading probably at least once or twice a week for the last 4 or 5 weeks. Coupled with that, not necessarily related, is the whole artificial intelligence thing, which does scare the living hell out of me.
Big time. I have a problem with that. Scary stuff.
I have many problems with it because we are at the brink of letting inanimate machinery make decisions about our lives. It's bad enough that we have idiots making decisions about our lives. We call those politicians. Not all of them, but certainly a very large proportion of them. Now we're going to allow electronic equipment to essentially rule our lives, make our decisions. What's wrong with that picture?
You know, along the same line, the intelligence in the cars, I don't know. I just am not comfortable with myself. I know a car to tell you, oh, you're getting too close to another vehicle. Hit the brakes if you don't. That's one thing, you know. Some of the parking assist, I guess, that makes sense. But to put people out of the driver's seat or put them passively in the driver's seat, people have a hard enough time already paying attention. If the car's on autopilot and the car screws up, you know, it's not good, especially when they're talking about some of the efficiency of travel would have high speed travel in certain lanes. With these things traveling at high speeds very close front to back to one another, it doesn't sit well with me. And it just, to me, all of these things, we already have a culture of people who don't know how to do anything. We're just going to make people less dependent, you know, and this less ridiculous. You know, I mean, it was, you know,
more ridiculous.
More ridiculous, yes, absolutely. Unable to fix things. How things work.
Unable to function.
How a small engine works. And the critical thought of figuring things out. Without that, when it doesn't occur to people to figure out how something A causes B or what leads to this. You know, just the basic concept of an orienteering class with a compass and the shade of the sun to find out where you are in the woods. How many people would be able to get out of the woods with a compass and some basic skills? And I just don't know. I don't know. It's an interesting
people can get out of the woods as it is, figuratively speaking? Lordy. Well,
artificial intelligence, it scares me. Here's where people will sell it, Terry. They will sell it in the terms of the computers thinking and being able to solve cancer and healthcare and sickness is how they will get you. And then, you know, we have to balance it out with these other things. But, you know, just like you said before, the planet can have about, a billion people to be, you know, self-sustaining planet. If we have, you know, so much more than that, wouldn't the machines figure that out? And if you program the machines to correct things and what's wrong with the planet, but the first step is get rid of most of us.
The machines, you know, will be a product of what we are, and that's not good. That's definitely not good. I don't know. I wish I had more answers for that one. There are no easy answers. I have a friend who has an incurable illness, and this person has flat out said that they wish that another 6 billion would go with them when they go, because it's the only way to save the other part of the planet.
Well, isn't
yes,
that why plagues
terrible.
And things
it
happen,
sounds,
do you think?
It's going to be too little too late by the looks of things. When it does happen, it's going to be so cataclysmic. It's I don't know. Boy, we really got on a dark line here today. All of it's true. All of it's true, you know, and I don't know. I want to go back to my Christmas tree and sit and enjoy it, I think, and appreciate it. I sent Nick a picture of my Christmas tree a little earlier tonight.
Very
and,
impressive. Size of very large tree. Very lots of tree, lots of ornament. Must take a long time to set that up.
So it takes days to do it. It's a lot of fun for me. I don't know how many ornaments are on it. I've had an estimate from somebody of like 1,500 or something like that. I don't think there are that many, but there are quite a few, that's for sure. Man, I don't know. I would like to see some peace on Earth and goodwill toward animals and goodwill toward the Earth. What happened to all that? What happened to that idea?
Well, and
what happened
to people not getting bent out of shape about who says happy holidays, Merry Christmas, season's greetings, this or that, and anything else? You know, if someone's wishing
who
you well, you know, I mean,
yes,
say
exactly.
Whatever. I mean, you can say,
exactly.
If they say happy holidays and you want to say Merry Christmas, or if they want to say, and you say, no, it's happy Hanukkah, whatever, cool, that's great. Like, because, you know, we don't know what people celebrate or if they don't celebrate anything at all. And unless, I mean, how are we supposed to... Are we supposed to just stereotype people and look at them and profile them? No. So it's, you know, unless we're going to wear little identification badges that says what our holidays we like, just say whatever, you know. Wish them well. You can't screw it up. People were way too worried about that. You know, I saw someone, you know, talking about, you know, instead of worrying about what they're saying, just be happy they're acknowledging you in a good mood anyway. You know? Take what you can get. Anyway, did you get a lot of Christmas cards? Did you send Christmas cards at all?
I did not get a single Christmas card.
What?
Not one. Not one. Did not get a single Christmas card, Nick. I distributed a number of Christmas cards, but I did not get a single one.
Maybe they're still coming in the mail.
No. No, I'm sure they are not. It's not good.
One of the things that I noticed about just the concept of Christmas cards and writing them out is, you know, when I do it, it's personal. You stop and you take a moment and you pause and you think about the people you're writing to, you know, and to the extent you want to. I mean, I always try to write a little note or a message. And
yeah, personalize it. Exactly.
Yeah, instead of just Merry Christmas, you know, from Nick, just write a little message, and sometimes there's some, you know, I try to make things appropriate to, you know, whoever and cousins and whatnot, and, you know, just I was doing it, you know, thinking, sitting here thinking about people, writing out these things, folding them up, putting the stamps on them, you know, I thought that's what Christmas is about, spending the time to stop and think about people and have warm thoughts, and it just, it's overall just a good thing. So what else on that same track? Some people do Christmas letters that go with the cards. My aunt and uncle always do this. Typed out
that's
letter
an
that
tradition, and it was really kind of a nice thing. They bring you up to date on what's been going on with the family.
Mm-hmm.
I get one of those by email from some friends in South Africa each year, and it's really nice to hear about their families.
What are they doing? What are they doing?
So it's a nice thing. I have some very close friends and colleagues in South Africa, an entire family of doctors and veterinarians, and some really, really fine people. I've helped tutor their kids at times and worked with them on projects at times. And the grandfather, who is now deceased, was a very close friend of mine. So, they still do things like that. I'm sorry, but we've lost so much by this homogenization that's gone on. The all one, it's a small world after all mentality. I vehemently disagree with that. We have lost our cultures. We've lost the things that made each group of people unique. We have lost things that gave people cultural pride. The Swiss taking pride in some of their costuming and their mountain activities that they've been involved in, and the Germans with their manufacturing and engineering and their beer making, sausage making, on down the line. This stuff is all rapidly disappearing. And we're all turning into like a bad suburb of New York. That's not healthy.
What about in Europe? What about Europe and the Netherlands and things like that? I'm very interested recently in a lot of European things that are going on. There's a channel on I increased my cable line up by $20 to get a couple channels I wanted, and some of these are really interesting programs. This one channel, Viceland, they were following in the Netherlands, there's this hardcore punk scene in the Netherlands, and a lot of that is totally in the Bible Belt of the Netherlands too, in the country and the farm areas, and where they have very strict Christian conservatives who, so ladies wearing dresses and hats, and they take it pretty seriously. And there's a lot going on with these kids, and it's very interesting to watch. And you would a lot of these gatherings that these folks have, there's a lot of dark imagery, but they're all pretty friendly, nice. They're all pretty good kids, it seems like. There was another thing about people in the Ukraine, and there was a part of the Ukraine that's called the DNR, that is separate in its own self-declared sovereign nation, and there's a battle going on over it, and these curfews and all things, and these kids who are trying to find a way to get out and go to parties during the curfews and avoid the 11M, whatever thing, and there's so much going on in the world, and so I really found it really cool to, tap into some of these channels that it's a lot of Canadian-funded documentary programming going on there, you get a kind of a glimpse into something other than the standard, like you said, like boilerplate suburban life, what you get, like especially like places like Plano, Texas, like the Dallas suburbs. You have to be more boring,
I had two grad students who worked under me getting their master's. They were both from the Netherlands, and stayed in touch with one of the two. The other one, I don't know what in the world happened to him, but it's interesting. For as small as the Netherlands are, for as small as Holland is, they've got some really tight little cultural niches there, and it's very surprising. Even down to having different dialects. And, you're talking about a country that's smaller than many of our states, certainly smaller than the state you live in. And,
oh, absolutely. You could probably fit we could fit half of Europe in Texas. But.
Yeah. So we're just losing cultural identity. We're losing our who and what we were. And I get so sick of listening to this bullshit about, we have to have a diverse workforce. It's not diverse. That's the whole point. It's anything but diverse. All you're doing is shoving people into the same damn mold. And the reason we see Japanese businessmen with Ralph Lauren outfits on and, American ties is because the westernization has been so strong It's affected all of this stuff very, very badly. We've talked about this a couple of times before. I don't know. I don't have an answer, and I don't know if the new year is going to bring us anything great or wonderful, but maybe at some point someone will wake up. The one thing, and you and I have both talked about this before, it's kind of like a tiny, tiny light in the tunnel of darkness. Vinyl is coming back when it comes to record albums.
Mm-hmm.
That is a good thing. And more places are setting up small racks of new vinyl. And then they have a small rack near it of older vinyl. Boy, would it be nice to be able to listen to stuff that was really high fidelity and something where you weren't having the jittery chatter of the really weird. I mean, the digital stuff is just really weird. If you have good ears, it sounds chattery. You know, it's popping in and out of there because it's living on zeros and ones. And they're depending upon it popping in and out so fast that you can't pick it up. Well, trust me, if you listen to vinyl right next to it or a reel-to-reel tape, which still is the paragon of all audio recording, it makes a difference. My God, does it make a difference. And these kids are listening to their music on, you know, these earbuds with unimaginably bad speakers. They'll probably all be deaf by the time they're 23. Good Lord, we used to sit there and we had, you know, these wonderful large speakers where it would fill a room with sound in a very wonderful way. We'd look for accuracy, we'd look for fidelity in the sound.
Right.
I don't know.
Getting a good needle, cleaning the needle. The big console record player. Big huge one of those things. I mean, it was the size of a van. You know, I used to play Led Zeppelin 3 on that thing. Oh, it was so cool. Shake the house.
Yep, and I'm hoping against hope for better things this year. That's all we can do, I guess, is hope and try to work toward it in each in our own individual way.
Maintain positive. Be positive.
I agree with you, and it's so difficult to do, though. So much wrong. And if enough of us think positively, perhaps some of that will change.
There you go.
I'm not sure.
But
I'd like to
all the time we have. It's all the time we have. We'll be back next week.
Thanks,
let's all be positive until then.
Week.
Positive 2017. So, Terry,
thanks,
you have a good
everyone.
Night.
Happy New Year.
Thank you all for listening to our show. Happy New Year. We'll be back next week. Bye-bye.